grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for our meditation this morning is the gospel lesson, Jesus feeding all of these people. This is our text. I got to tell you, much of our life is made up of the one routine, handling one problem after another. It's not all just picnics and celebrations that we celebrate and have to handle, but at times we feel the questions and problems are pressing in on us. We feel that pressure daily. And it's when we are uncertain about our decisions, our energy level seems to plummet, goes way down, and we don't know what we're supposed to be doing. Besides this, we might be hungry. How many times have we been just like the disciples in this gospel lesson we heard today, when we go thinking about the enormity of our needs, the needs of this world today? And then we come to church with all these needs and these burdens weighing us down. And then how many of us leave church with those very burdens still weighing us down, wondering, what the heck happened, Lord? And then sometimes we just think, well, maybe it's just impossible. How's God going to do this for me? We often wonder why our lives are filled with so much stress and anxiety. It really isn't any secret. We try to make our lives one way, don't we? We try to set it up that we're going to be just so, and then someone or something comes along and just tears it all apart. We get distracted then. Maybe we get frustrated. We get all stressed out. I know I get stressed. I feel like a tennis ball right here in the back corner. Right here in the back corner. I feel stressed. It's physical on us. And it's at times like these that we find ourselves looking and turning to God, and we really don't even know what to say. And sometimes we don't even understand why we're looking to God for help. All we know is that we're frazzled and we're stressed and we need some guidance. If you don't think that happens, take a look again at this text that we have before us today. When Jesus heard what had happened, he withdrew by boat privately to a quiet place. Hearing of this, the crowds followed him on foot. Now, the news that Jesus had heard was that John the Baptist was beheaded by King Herod. This is his cousin. Not only that, Herod was convinced that Jesus is John the Baptist come back from the dead. And Jesus had to remain compassionate to these people yet. He still had these people coming to him with this looming over his head about King Herod. Jesus knew that John's death meant that his own suffering and death was soon to come as well. Jesus also knew that Herod was a madman and that he might hunt him down. You know, Jesus had to look over his shoulder. He had to go about being compassionate to these people, even despite Herod coming after him. So he gathered up his disciples and wanted to get into a private spot where he could relax, meditate, and talk with those who were closest to him. Well, then Jesus' disciples finally docked the boat, and they got out. And to Jesus' surprise, hey, here's the crowd. They followed me. They were still waiting for him. Maybe they were waiting for him because they were impressed by the miracles he had performed. Maybe they were impressed by what he had had to say. Maybe they were hoping that Jesus might be someone special. Now, there was a lot of Jews around. They all shared that hope and that desire that a Messiah would come. Each one of them, though, had their each own personal situation. Each one had a list of expectations for Jesus. What one thought might not be the same what another thought. Each one had a list of burdens, a list of worries, a list of concerns, and each one of them wanted Jesus to help them out with it. So when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, what did he do? He had compassion for them. In spite of his need for rest, and in spite of the need he had to more talk and more learning he had to give to the disciples, he had to have compassion on these people. Jesus wasn't about to turn his back on all of these people. That's because he had compassion for their every need, whatever it was. Jesus identified their great spiritual need for him. He saw that. He knew that. God knows the desires of all men. So he not only healed their sick, but Luke tells us in his account of this miracle that Jesus actually welcomed the crowd and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Imagine that. Jesus has compassion for these people. Okay? He wants to help them out in their spiritual needs. God sees their spiritual need, and he's feeding them food for their physical needs, but at the same time, he's telling them about the kingdom of God. What a compassionate Savior we have. He knows how to take care of our lives, even when we don't have a clue. He touches us with his compassion and leads us to realize that what needs we have to have first in our lives. He will satisfy your needs. Just look at this huge crowd that faced Jesus in our text today. As evening approached, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a remote place." They even said it was what? Desolate. And it's already getting late. They looked at Jesus and said, "You, Lord, you send them away. You send them into town, into the villages, and to find themselves something to eat." So we find out why the disciples were so anxious here, don't we? It was getting late. In fact, it was already beyond the time of the evening meal time. But this crowd just still kept on growing. It seems like things were getting out of hand. In sheer desperation, you know, the disciples went and they counted the crowd. There were at least 5,000 families present. And when the disciples added the women and the children to the list, it doesn't take much to figure out that there was probably over 15,000 people there. So what could the disciples do? What could they do? Whom could they turn to? They got a problem. The foolish disciples turned to who? They turned to themselves and to each other to try and satisfy the growing problem right before them. They start winding through the crowd, looking around to see who might have some food, who might be able to help us out. Oh, how it is with us too, isn't it? When life gets out of hand, we tend to look to ourselves or to each other for a solution to our problems. Maybe we call a friend or we call a family member. Maybe we post it on Facebook. We do everything we can to try and sort things out without God's help. Our lives become unhappy, and so we try to fill that gap on our own. We become disenchanted, and so we come to the conclusion, hey, maybe we need a new hobby. Maybe I need to do something else to make myself happy. So we go searching for a new hobby. We'll try this. We'll try that. I know I have tried, and I still do. I try fishing. I try a lot of different things. I still play with toy trims. I haven't had them out of a box in 2.5 years. I still love trims. So we try to do things. You know, when I first got out of the service, out of the military, I had to have a job. Retirement there doesn't mean that much, but I still had to have a job. So I tried several different jobs. I forgot, in what, 8 years, I had like 12 different jobs because I didn't find one that made me happy. So all of us, before we know it, we realize that everything is all now topsy-turvy. Our lives aren't any happier. Instead, we seem to be getting much worse. Our demands and our expectations become greater and greater. And we begin to feel completely inadequate, don't we? Our worries and our own inabilities, they'll blind us to what is so obvious. We have a Savior. We have Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who loves us dearly, who cares for all of our needs. Jesus replied to his disciples, "They do not need to go away. You give them something to eat." They said, "What? We have here only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them to me," he said. 5 loaves and 2 small fish. That's not a lot of food. Yet in Jesus' hands, they become what? They become a feast. Trust that the Savior of life has you in his hand. In his hand, little things become a lot. How that is true of our lives. Our little lives, our little existence, our little world, which consists of nothing more than this flesh and blood and bones, this little bit of us becomes immense in eternity. Our Lord took care of every little complete item on our list. Our Lord took care of every single one of those worries, every one of those regrets. He purchased every item on our list. He purchased it upon the cross at Calvary. Now we have heaven as a real certainty. God promises it. Take your Savior's promise, for example. Quite often they are simple words to us. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Come to me and I will give you rest." What about this one that our Lord says? "It is finished." They may seem like little words, very small words, yet these words fall on human hearts and are built up into castles of great hope. The disciples seemed to have forgotten all the miracles they had seen Jesus perform. They had seen Jesus healing the sick and the distressed all day long. Yet they missed the obvious, that which was right before them. If Jesus could heal bodies, then he could certainly nourish them. The disciples missed that. They were too focused on the overwhelming need and their own personal inability to meet the need. Christ has the compassion which persists among unbelief and doubt. When you are overwhelmed, then take all that is unmanageable, all the things you feel you're supposed to do but aren't, all your list of failures, all your regrets, all those expectations you may have, take that entire list and you place it in Jesus' hand. Let His compassion take care of you. Trust that He will meet and He will exceed all of your needs. In fact, He already has. He's earned salvation for you with His death upon the cross. No matter what may come in this life, the most important details have already been met. Jesus' compassion covers all your needs. We are fed by Christ. Now, Jesus has more than enough compassion for each and every one of us. But we limit God in our lives. We settle for just barely, or when we think in terms like we're satisfied or we're filled, you know, like after a big meal. Or I just can't take another bite. And it's not us who multiplies the resources available for us. It's Jesus. Jesus brought this truth home in this unforgettable miracle we have before us in our text today. And a beautiful truth stands out in the midst of these verses. Do you hear that? It said, they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. God more than amply met every one of their needs. Even the meal for the next day was there. They had more than enough. Our Lord will not leave us empty-handed. How true is it when St. Paul says to us, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? The Savior of life has you in the palm of His hand. It is Jesus who feeds us. We depend so much on our own self-sufficiency. We depend on ourselves far too much. We must learn to depend upon the Lord to satisfy all of our needs. There are certain things that only He can do for us. And when we try to do things our own way, we just get disappointed. When all of this happened with this crowd in our text today, and these disciples, they realized that God was at work among them. How do we know this? John's gospel of this miracle says it in verses 14. After the people saw the miracle that Jesus did, they began to say, surely, this is the prophet who has come into the world. This miracle reveals Jesus' compassion for us. We are strengthened in our faith in Him. It is Jesus who feeds us the true meal we so desire and that we so desperately need. He is our all-sufficient, compassionate Savior. He has redeemed us from sin and holding open the gates of heaven to us. You remember, in the midst of our hectic lives, we have a compassionate Savior who puts our welfare first. He will provide for all of our needs, physically and spiritually. He will pilot us through this life and keep us in the palm of His hand, both now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.